Let's return to Acts chapter 10, very significant chapter in which the gospel, which has up till now been confined mainly to the Jewish people, begins to break out among the Gentiles through the Apostle Peter. Acts chapter 10, and it takes a lot of persuading to get Peter to begin to work with Gentile people. And God has to give him this vision of the sheet with all the different unclean animals and creatures in it. And Peter's told to make a meal of them, to get up, kill and eat. And verse 14 he replies, "Surely not, Lord. Surely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." And the voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." But especially the words, "Surely not, Lord. Surely not, Lord." Wonder what we are saying, "Surely not, Lord," to the Lord about tonight. "Surely not, Lord." I was with Dorina on Thursday in Maryborough. Well, in Dingwall, actually. I spent an hour with her lunch hour, at the cafe in Dingwall where she's working. Dorina, the wife of the late Donald Angus Stewart, and Alec, Donald's brother, was with me also. It was a sweet time, and I always find time with Dorina well spent, because she's a woman with a deep trust in God, and she's always been like that, but that deep trust is showing particularly clearly just now, in the time of her great loss. And she's a great example to me and a challenge to me. And as I was listening to her saying things like, "Well, we must follow God wherever He leads," she's saying, I was just thinking to myself as I sat there in the cafe drinking a latte in the middle of Dingwall, is my Christian life too safe? I don't know why that came to me, but that's what came to me. Is my Christian life too safe? Now, we can all ask that of ourselves and of our church. Christians are people who live by faith, or they're not Christians. They live by faith. Their faith is in the living God. And because of that faith in God, they have a relationship with God. Now, God is not like you and me. It's not a relationship of equals. He's greater. He's much greater. So if I'm living in a relationship with God, then the relationship is going to be all about what God wants to do in my life. Because He's wiser. He's more powerful. He's got plans. And He's taken me places. So really, it's going to be challenging, isn't it? It's got to be challenging if you're trying to walk with God, because it's about what He is doing. The Christian life is not safe in the sense of predictable. If you're living by faith in the living God, then from week to week and day to day, you'll expect things to change. You'll never get cozy. You'll never get that you just settle down and everything is the same from week to week. You and the church you belong to will vary from week to week. Things will happen. Things will change. New faces, new approaches, new initiatives. It'll all happen because you're walking with God. And walking with the living God is going to be challenging. It reminded me of the often quoted description of Aslan, the great lion, the Lion King in the Narnia books of C.S. Lewis. And Mr. Beaver has been asked about Aslan. "Is he safe?" someone asks him. "Of course he isn't safe," says the Beaver, "but he's good. He's the king, I tell you." And we could say that about God too. Is God safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he is good. He is the king. He's not safe, but he is good. So he won't do anything bad to you. He will tell you the truth. He will care for you. His gospel will make you safe from his wrath against your sin. You will be safe in a doctrinal sense. That is, he'll show you what's true and he'll show you what's right. You'll be safe physically with him and emotionally with him. But he isn't predictable. And in that sense, he isn't safe. He won't let you sleep as a Christian. He won't let you just slumber in the same old routines endlessly. He won't let you grow stale. If you want an example of this, we can look in Acts chapter 10 and see that example. Peter's journey in Acts 10 is a really, really challenging journey for a Jewish man. There he is in verse 9 on the roof of Simon the Tanner's house. And all is quiet and all is still, and downstairs, presumably his wife is preparing a meal. And suddenly, God just steps in. And he has a vision. In a sense, it relates to how he's feeling. He's feeling hungry, it says. And God gives him a vision of what he should eat. But what he should eat is not what he's ever eaten before. Because as a Jewish observant man, he's eaten food that is clean, as defined in the Levitical laws of Moses. And God is saying, this is what I want you to eat now. And it's not clean food. And Peter says, surely not. I've never done that. And God says to him, don't call anything impure that God has made clean. And he does this three times, it says. He emphasizes it 1, 2, 3 times. And each time Peter responds, and each time God says, I'm calling it clean. So don't call it unclean. And Peter is struggling. It's hard. It's a challenge. Because he's with God. He's on a journey with God, a journey of faith. And then the men arrive from the Gentile Cornelius's house. And Peter does something that is a very challenging thing for him, perhaps reflecting already that he's realizing what the vision is about. In verse 23, he invites the men into his house. He invites Gentiles into his house to be his guests. Now that's a new thing for Peter, because Jews and Gentiles didn't associate, certainly not over food. And then they begin a journey. The journey takes them to Caesarea, to Cornelius' house. And Peter and a few of his friends, Christian friends, Jewish friends, are with him. And they come and they enter, verse 25, a Gentile's house. That's even more challenging. It's really, really not something Peter's ever done before. It's not safe in terms of being comfortable and predictable and just what he's always done. And he says in verse 28, you're well aware it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. And again in verse 34, Peter says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. So Peter is going through a very difficult transition in his thinking and in his practice as a Jewish man and as a Christian. And he preaches the gospel to them. And as he explains about Jesus, and then he explains about the forgiveness of sins in verse 43, he says, while Peter's still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit comes on the Gentiles who hear the message. And the circumcised believers who've come with Peter, they're astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out even on the Gentiles. You can see the struggle they have to come to terms with what God, the great God, the living God, is doing. And so the story finally ends in verse 48 with the Gentiles being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and Peter staying on with them for a few days. And of course, in the next chapter, Peter gets a lot of flack and criticism for associating with Gentiles. But it's not a safe business being a Christian. It's not that God brings you into his family and this is right, just have a nice little routine now. There's nothing more you really need to do till you get to heaven. Just have a nice church routine and a nice Christian routine day by day. And that's all I'm asking. It's just not like that. God wants to take us, young and old, on a journey where things change into new terrain. And this story here is just one of thousands that are in the Bible, and many more that could be told about the lives of Christians throughout the centuries who've gone on a journey with God. He is, as verse 14 says, the Lord. He is the Lord. He leads us into new things. And sometimes when the new things are first confronted by us, what will we say? We'll say, surely not. We'll resist them. If we want to stay close to God, we must learn to put our resistance aside and say, yet not my will, Lord, but yours be done. So the Christian life of faith is unpredictable. It's challenging. It isn't safe, but it is good. It's exhilarating. So let me give a little progress report on our kitten now. The little kitten in our house called Mally. This week she mastered the cat flap. Exciting times. But indoors is safe, and outdoors is, well, anything but. When she first poked her nose out, the wind was blowing and there was bits of grass and dried bracken blowing round and round at the front door. And then there's cars coming down the drive and trains going past at the front and lots of unfamiliar things like trees and other cats and other wild animals. But Mally is excited about the possibilities. And I'm excited for her. I really wouldn't like her to just stay in the house. A cat that would just stay in the house all the time would, in my view, seem to have lost something of its nature. Wouldn't you agree? God doesn't want us to be indoors Christians. He wants us to be outdoor Christians in this sense. The indoor church is a safe church, but it's also stagnant. It's a bit like the cat whose greatest adventure life is sitting on the window inside and watching the birds and the trees outside. What a sad little cat that is. But we Christians can be just like that. Reading books about other Christians having great adventures of faith, but having no faith ourselves. The Christian life is not safe. God is a father. He's not the kind of father who mollycoddles his children so that they never mature, so that they never have to grow up and make decisions, hard decisions. He's like the father who takes his children outside and challenges them with new things, takes them into demanding situations where they've got to think, they've got to make decisions, they've got to be pushed to their mental and physical limits, because that's when the children mature. But the outdoors is difficult. The outdoors has dangers. The terrain is very varying. The weather is uncertain. There's often discomfort outside. There are midges, and there are spiders, and there are ticks. But the outdoors is beautiful. Not like the indoors. The indoors is the same every day, but the outdoors is wonderful. The outdoors is a place full of opportunities, full of adventure, discovery, exploration. The place where you can develop health and fitness. You can climb to summits and get the views. That's the outdoors. It's often said today our children are overprotected. They live in a health and safety climate. They live in a stranger danger climate. And that is combined with their own unfortunate choice to sit all day long at screens rather than to get outside. And it's little wonder that children fail to mature, fail to launch out on their own. They choose the safe rather than adventure. And many Christians, maybe even myself, have too much of that fear in our lives. Surely not, Lord. We sit on the doorstep, afraid to go further outdoors, afraid of trusting God, afraid of things that are different, new, unfamiliar, things we haven't done as Christians before, experiences we haven't had, doing things the church, the free church, has never done before. Afraid of a relationship with God, of walking with God through the exhilarating outdoors of faith and of the exciting experiences He'd take us through. And we have to remind ourselves of this story and many others. Look at what God did in Peter's life here. It was not comfortable. It was not easy. But the rewards were wonderful, because Peter stuck with God even when he didn't feel at all safe. He trusted God, and God took him on this wonderful adventure, very much out of doors, out of his comfort zone, in among the Gentiles, where he saw God working and beginning to establish a church at Caesarea among Gentiles. You might say to me, but Roddy, it's all very well picking this story because it's about Peter, and Peter, of course, is a restless adventurer. It's in his nature to always seek new challenges. No, he's not. No, he is not. If you know the story, you'll know that sometime after this, Peter will go back into indoors and be scared again of eating with the Gentiles. He'll stop eating with the Gentiles until the Apostle Paul challenges him. Oh no. Peter finds this journey very uncomfortable. It's not within his nature as a Jewish man at all. He takes a lot of criticism for it too. It's overturning a lifetime of habit for the Jews who have become Christians about kosher food and kosher people. But he's following Jesus. So it's not safe, but it is good. And it was always like that with Peter. From the day Peter began to follow Jesus, Jesus took him on a journey where things ceased to be safe and familiar and predictable. Sometimes Peter would try and make them safe. When Jesus told him, "Look, I'm going to die on a cross," Peter would take him aside and say, "Don't do that, Lord." He would try and make things safe, but Jesus wouldn't let him. So being a Christian means we can never ever say, "Surely not, Lord." Or if we do, we know that we're going to have to stop saying, "Surely not, Lord." Being a Christian means we can never say, "I'm happy as I am, Lord. I've found my place. I like the church the way it is. Jesus will say goodbye to such a church. The church cannot put up a sign on the door which says, "Do not disturb." I wonder, is there anyone here tonight who is not receiving Jesus at all because you want to be safe? You want things to be nice and controlled and the same as they always were. And so you don't receive Jesus because you're afraid. You say, "Surely not, Lord." Are you going to lose your soul because of a desire for safety? That is the most dangerous thing you could possibly do. Jesus is not safe, but he is good. He will not let you be nice and cozy, but he will take you on a wonderful journey. And then for those of us who are Christians, are we going spiritually stale because we want to be safe? Are we happy to lose our living connection with God because we want to keep things predictable? I think it's a temptation as you get older. It's a temptation for me. But God is saying to us tonight, if he challenges us, we do not say, "Surely not, Lord." We do not seek a safe life as a Christian or as a church. If we do that, we may lose our soul. If we do that, we will certainly not be the means of others coming to know Jesus. We will not reach other souls with the gospel. People will be lost if we try to keep it safe, because a safe church doesn't reach new people. Remember this message. Remember this message. Is 2016 going to be the year where the destiny of our congregation is decided? Whether it'll be an indoors church or an outdoors church, whether it will choose faith or safety, routine or relationship with God, life or death. What are we saying, "Surely not, Lord," to tonight, that God may be wanting to do in our midst? "Surely not, Lord." The Lord says to us, "Surely not, Roddy. Don't say that. I want to lead you somewhere. It will involve change. If you're going to reach new people that you're not reaching just now, then you're going to have to change to reach them. Don't say to me, 'Surely not, Lord.' I want you to be the means of reaching these new people. So come and follow me." And then the church will change. The church will grow. The church will thrive. Amen.